Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Podcast Network Asia.
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of The 80%. We've been releasing new episodes every Monday, so this one might come to you as a surprise. The reason is that for today, I have two special guests who will be talking to us about the European Higher Education Fair 2021 that's happening on October 1st and 2nd, which is already next week. I thought of releasing this episode early so that you'll have time to listen to it and hopefully convince you to join and register to this free online event. So, are you ready to listen and learn? Let's go! Hi, my name is Fitz Villafuerte. I'm a registered financial planner and the host of this podcast, where we talk about the mindset, habits, and strategies you need to achieve financial success. Thank you for tuning in, and now on to the show. Miss Anna? Or should I say Dr. Ruiz? I'm not sure what to call you because you're such an accomplished individual that I feel it's disrespectful if I call you Miss Anna.
You can call me Miss Anna, no problem.
Miss Anna. Where are you right now, Miss Anna?
I'm in Makati at the hotel.
Makati.
I just arrived in the Philippines.
So, Ms. Anna, I understand that you're the head of political, press, and information and the deputy head of the delegation of the European Union to the Philippines. Can you tell us exactly what you do? Because I did not understand a word from that designation. Yeah.
Yeah, our delegation is like an embassy. But, of course, the European Union is not a state or a country. So, it's an international organization, a very peculiar one, because it has much more powers than international organizations usually have. So we have a representation here, and we do a bit of what the diplomatic mission does. We do political relations, we do public diplomacy, and we also have a trade section and a development cooperation section. So we try to be a bit of the eyes and mouth of the European Union here so that we can report back to Brussels the events and the situation in the Philippines. And we can also present the European Union to the Filipino authorities and people in all the areas, foreign policy, but also, like in this case, education.
Wow, it seems like you are doing a very important job, not just for the European Union, but also in terms of helping the Philippines. And of course, the reason why we're talking today is to tell my listeners about the European Higher Education Fair. Can you tell us exactly what this event is?
And this is an event that we organize every year for the last 11 years. We had one in 2007, but then we started with a yearly rhythm from 2012. And the purpose of this event is to bring to the Filipino students and universities information on how to go study in Europe. Mostly graduate and postgraduate studies. Because, of course, if students don't know the opportunities and the possibilities that that exist, they cannot really take advantage of them. So the idea is to have a forum in which in a couple of days, in this case it's a virtual fair for 2 days, but that they can get all the information they would need, they can interact with the universities, they can ask questions, they can get to know more about the different European countries and the universities and their programs and the possibilities for scholarships, etc. So that's the goal. And usually this fair was taking place physically, so students could go from one stand to another and ask questions. Unfortunately, we cannot do the same last year or this year, so it's virtual, but the philosophy will be a bit the same, that the students can have breakout rooms and chat and interact with the universities and with the representatives of our member states.
All right. So, wow, this is really a great opportunity, and it made me think, I wish that you were already organizing this type of fair when I was a little bit younger, because I agree with you. You cannot just stay within your own place or within your location. Traveling, for my experience, has really opened up a lot of ideas and opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And what more, if you can actually go to another country and study there, I'm sure it will be more than just learning inside the classroom, but you'll also learn a lot from the culture and be able to understand how people or how other countries do it. So for this year, I understand that the theme is Go Higher with EU. Why did you choose this as this year's theme?
Yeah, we try to express the idea that studying in a European higher education institution can represent a path towards success, not only professional but also in life. So that's the spirit behind our motto this year, and we have 140 universities, colleges, institutes participating in the fair. Some of them are, or many of them are top academic institutions. So this gives a big chance to any student interested in going to Europe to get a full picture of what is in offer in many European countries, concretely 13. Countries and in these 140 universities.
Wow, that's a lot, 140 universities from all over Europe. So for those who are listening right now, they might be interested. Can I ask who can participate in the European Higher Education Fair? Is it just students? How about those who are already working but perhaps thinking of getting some higher education? So who are the target participants for this year's fair?
The fair is open for anyone who wants to register for free. So registration is free at our webpage, and anyone can register. Of course, I think those who can benefit the most from this fair are students or people who are going to be graduate or postgraduate students, but also university officers, for instance, those dealing with partnerships or with international cooperation, that can be useful for them as well. Sometimes even parents may be interested, depends on how much of controlling parents or protective parents they are, but we know some parents are very interested on following closely the studies of their kids. And so, researchers as well, of course, can be interested, and also academicians, professors, because they may find the information useful for guiding their students as well.
All right. But is there an age limit for the participants?
No. This is no, education right. has no time limits.
Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think that learning is a lifelong process. And in the Philippines, the common practice is that once you graduate your bachelor's degree, you go to the corporate world, you work, and then after a year or two, they would usually take up an MBA so that they can, the opportunity to be promoted to a managerial position opens up for them. But I think this is also an alternative. Would you agree that instead of me taking an MBA in the Philippines, I can probably check out EHEF and see if there's an opportunity for me to study abroad? That's right. Given that, what are the courses and the fields of study that are available in EU higher education institutions?
Well, you have everything.
Oh.
Of course, yeah. You can study anything from more technological topics to more philosophical, history, economical field, medical field, architecture, any kind of, I think, nowadays in Europe, you can study any area of academic studies. Yeah.
What usually happens to the Filipinos who go to Europe to study? Do they eventually find work there, or do most of them come back to the Philippines with better credentials and find better work? What usually happens to those who participate in the EHEF?
Yeah, as you said, a bit of everything. Some students may even get to know their future spouses there and, mm-hmm. and stay there for family reasons. Some students may choose to return to the Philippines and avail themselves of the education received in Europe. In different fields, so it's a bit of everything. Unfortunately, I could not give you statistics, but with our Erasmus Filipino students, we have seen a bit of everything. Sometimes there are indeed work opportunities in Europe after finalizing the studies, also because some programs combined the studies with traineeships in companies, etc.
That's right. So again, the registration is free, so they don't have to pay anything. And of course, this is a virtual fair, so they don't really have to go out. They can learn and network inside the convenience or the comfort of their home. So can you tell us again, Ms. Anna, when is this virtual fair happening? And I understand that this is 2 days. Do I have to attend all the both days, or is it okay for me to just pick the talks or the sessions that I want to attend?
The fair takes place on the 1st and 2nd of October in the afternoons between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. With an opening ceremony on 1st of October at 1:30. In our webpage and also in our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can find the program, and there is a schedule of activities. For instance, we have country presentations, or we will have webinars. We have 20 webinars on topics from business, technology, communications, government, health, tourism, etc., grantship opportunities. So students or participants in general can see the scheduled activities, and they can pick and choose what interests them the most.
Yeah, definitely. I will be registering because there's a couple of seminars that I'm interested to listen in. So thank you very much, Ms. Anna. I'll come back to you later on. But again, the European Higher Education Fair is happening on October 1 and 2, October 1st and 2nd, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I encourage everyone to register at ehefphilippines.com. Of course, I'll have the links to the website and to all the social media accounts of EHEF in the episode description. But for now, I want to talk to Miss Kate, who is another guest for today. Of course, nabanggit ni Miss Anna kanina, no, there are Filipinos who have already gone through this program. And Miss Kate, hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Kamusta?
Mabuti.
For the benefit of our listeners, can you introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing right now?
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Kate Romil. I took my master's in Europe under the Erasmus Mundus program. My degree is in Women's and Gender Studies. So I studied at the University of Hull in the UK and at Universidad de Granada in Spain. So currently, I'm teaching and I'm also doing development work and so many other things.
I would expect, because I've seen your credentials and it's very impressive. But I want to learn more about the Erasmus program that you mentioned. Can you tell us more about it? What exactly is that?
Okay, the Erasmus Mundus program is actually it's a degree program by the European Union, and most of our courses are masteral degrees, and we have around 140 courses in different fields, from agriculture to technology. I think Ms. Anna mentioned about it. And what's unique about Erasmus Mundus is that you have the mobility component, meaning you are required to travel to another country for a semester or two. And that's actually part of the program. So the program is a consortium. So it's composed of different universities from different various countries, not only in Europe, but we have, you know, partners in China, in India, and also Australia and the US. So you can actually go practically anywhere in the world with your Erasmus Mundus degree. And that's why it's unique. You have the opportunity to meet different cultures and, you know, learn different languages as well.
And this is also a scholarship program, so they don't really have to shell out money to study in all these countries and to travel. Am I correct?
Yes, we have the full scholarship program for this. I mean, of course, if you want to pay for the tuition fees and, you know, everything, you can also do that, right? But we have full scholarships, and a lot of Filipinos benefit from this. I think we're always in the top 20 countries as recipients of the Erasmus Mundus Scholars. And that's why it's, you know, it's very exciting for, you know, for us alumni to encourage more Filipinos to join and also to try and apply. I think you mentioned in the beginning about it, everything is about behavior and everything is about the way you think. And I think that is very important. And that's why, you know, if you dream of studying in Europe, that's already a first step. And the next step is to check all the opportunities available there, because there are a lot. And one of the best opportunities is the Erasmus Mundus program.
How do you pursue a scholarship via the Erasmus program? What are the basic steps?
Mm-hmm. What's good about the Erasmus Mundus program or the EMJMD is that it's very straightforward. You go to the European Commission website of the Erasmus Mundus, and then you'll have all the courses or programs under Erasmus Mundus, and then you will be prompted to the website of that course, and then you submit your application online. Straightforward. There are no separate application for those who apply for scholarships and for those who don't apply or who don't want to apply for a scholarship. The only difference is that they have different deadlines.
Yeah, and of course, by attending the European Higher Education Fair, this will really give them a better view of what's really out there. And I think there are talks coming from the different countries, so they'll also be able to pick which universities would be, they would be interested in. And I've read your bio, and I'm really so amazed by what you've already done. And I'm sure you've been to a lot of countries, especially in Europe. But I'd like to take a step back, Kate. And can you tell us the story of what you were doing before you went to study in Europe? And how did you learn about EHEF and the Erasmus program? And of course, can you give us a brief description of your experience in studying in different countries?
Before taking my master's in Europe, I was already teaching. I was doing a part-time lecturing position in the university. And I was attending different conferences, international and local. And one of the conferences and actually training that I attended was on young women's leadership program. And this was in Mexico. And one of the participants knew about my program, the GEMA or HEMA, Women's and Gender Studies. And she forwarded the application to me. And that's how I started. I had no idea about Erasmus prior to the meeting in Mexico. And then, so there, that's how it started. And I applied. And I, you know, I always wanted to study in Europe because, you know, we have a deep connection with Europe, of course, right? And so I really pictured myself, you know, imagined myself studying there. And then the opportunity came and I just, you know, grabbed the opportunity. So that's how it started.
How did you deal with the language barrier? I can imagine that it would be hard. Did you learned like you studied in Spain, did you learn Spanish? And I know that you have an NGO in Belgium, so what were the biggest challenges that you encountered in studying abroad, and how did you deal with it?
Well, I had a Spanish language class back in my undergrad because I took up literature and we were required to take one foreign language. And one of the foreign languages that I took was Spanish. So more or less, I mean, it's Filipino and Spanish are very similar, right? Because we borrowed a lot of words from Spanish. But of course, it's different in Granada because they have a different accent. In a way, they're kind of slang. So it's you know, it's difficult. It's not so much of, you know, understanding what the words mean, but it's really composing in your thoughts without judging yourself if it's grammatically correct or not. You know how Filipinos are. We're very conscious of that. And it's, you know, that's the struggle, actually. It's, am I saying it correctly, or did I say it, you know, in the wrong way, you know? But it's challenging in my first month in Granada, because I was the only one in our flat. My flatmates came in like a few weeks later, so I arrived earlier, and my flat was it was in an old apartment, and they call it piso, you know, the place. And every morning, this is a funny story. Every morning, I'd hear someone like early in the morning calling Butano or saying Butano, and I didn't know what Butano was. So I thought we had a neighbor named Butano. So I had no idea that it was actually butane, you know, the gas, because I needed to use butane to cook food and, you know, heat water. So I had no idea. So for the first few weeks, I was heating water using, what do you call it? It's like a thermos. Mm-hmm. And I bought a pail and from a Chinese shop, because I always, you know, Filipinos, we always shower anyway or take a bath. So, and it was cold because it was in October. And I had no idea how to talk to the one selling to the Botano. And then I told my friends about it, and you know, when they came and they laughed and they said, "Oh, you have to tell them that you needed the Botano or the butane for the stove." So it was funny, but also, you know, it's in a way, it was an awesome experience because I found myself very resourceful. Like the first place that I checked was a Chinese or Asian shop. Because I knew I'd have, you know, the things that I would need for, you know, regular things that we use in the Philippines. And it was close to our flat. So there. So, and eventually, you know, you kind of realize that in Granada, they have this saying, no pasa nada. Nothing is happening. No te preocupes. Don't worry. And at first I was like, no, I'm so worried about, you know, making mistakes, you know, getting to the wrong house and so on. But, you know, eventually when you let the mystery or whatever you call it, I don't know what you call it, but when you let it come into you and open, you know, your arms and your eyes and your mind, you will understand that, yes, nothing is happening. It's really cool. You know, it's so chill in Granada. It's so nice to live there.
Wow, that's a really interesting story. And I would agree that studying in another country, and particularly in your case in Europe, you have to treat it as an adventure. So it might be a little scary at first, but of course Filipinos are very madiskarte, I would say. So I think if you bring that Filipino attitude there, you won't really have to struggle for a long time. And I can imagine, was it easy to make friends when you were studying?
Yes, especially the locals, at least for me, in the UK and also in Spain, but I'm going to focus on Spain. Most of the friends that I made were actually the local restaurant owners, restaurateur, because, you know, I love trying Spanish food because it's so close to our, you know, culture. And I wanted to learn about, you know, the influences, other influences, for example, the Arabic influences in Granada. And you have, you know, couscous, you know, the Moroccan food in Granada. It was so good. So most of the friends that I made were restaurant owners, and some of my friends would get, you know, free food because,
wow,
I knew the owners. Yes, so it's either free food or, you know, free coffee or juice, whatever, you know. It's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, galing. So let's go back to the European Higher Education Fair. I understand that you have a role. So what will you be doing during the fair, for the upcoming fair?
I think I've been doing this for the last, 7 years, promoting Erasmus, you know, talking about step-by-step process and how to apply, what to take, how many courses can you apply in one year, for example. So those things, basically guiding people about the process of applying for the Erasmus Mundus programs.
Wow. So yeah, if I'm interested in this, I would definitely look for you during the fair and ask everything. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are interested in the Erasmus program. So I guess that's all that I wanted to talk about today. Siguro, Miss Anna, thank you for coming in as guest. And again, please invite our listeners to register and attend the EHEF 2021.
Thank you, Mr. Fitz, for this opportunity to be here and to address your listeners. I warmly invite all of them to join, to register and join our higher education fair. any student or researcher, professor, or university employee, but the public in general, may have access to a lot of information regarding studying in Europe and also scholarship opportunities, which is very important for a student. And please take advantage of this possibility that happens once a year in the Philippines.
All right. And Ms. Kate, nako, maraming salamat for coming in. Any parting words or final advice sa mga kababayan natin who are really interested to study in Europe but are having second thoughts? So, i-convince mo sila na mag-attend itong EHEF.
I mean, if you want to travel, if you're into arts and culture, if you want to learn from the best and also, you know, in the process, getting to know yourself, your identity, while expanding your knowledge and your experience, you have to register. So don't, you know, don't delay what you want for yourself. Do it now and apply and join our EHEF this October 1 and 2. So please register.
Ayun, nako, all right. And again, the virtual fair is free, so nothing to lose and everything to gain. And thank you again, Ms. Anna and Ms. Kate. And I hope our listeners learned something new in this episode of the 80% Podcast. And that's the end of our episode. Thank you for listening. Kung may natutunan kayo today, then please click the follow button for the 80%. At i-invite nyo na rin ang mga friends nyo to listen to our podcast. For comments and suggestions, you can contact me through our official website, the80percentpodcast.com. Muli, ako si Fitz Villafuerte at magsama-sama ulit tayo sa susunod nating episode. Goodbye, take care, and stay safe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.